Hey, everybody. This is Chris McCabe of eCommerce. Chris flying solo on the podcast today, Seller Performance Solutions. Lee is on the road, but she'll be back next week. I wanted to cover a couple things that I've seen lots of account suspensions around recently. It's been off and on throughout the year, but there seems to be a spike as we get really close to the crest and the peak of Q4, which is Cyber 5, Black Friday, Cyber Monday. More than in the rearview mirror, they're practically on top of us at this point. So I want to kind of get the shout out now for anyone who's received warnings for evasive listing practices. In other words, trying to make a product look like it's not what it is in order to evade capture or evade Amazon's policy bots, as I started calling them, or listing deactivation automation, because whether they say the item is not branded properly, which is another big problem we're seeing now, or it's simply keywords and terms in the title, terms elsewhere in the detail page that reflect a product slightly different than what you're selling. Amazon, of course, is hip to the idea that some people realize that they might be selling a restricted product and they're trying to avoid enforcement teams at least for this month into next, or at least for Q4, and just sell through as much inventory as they can, whether or not they've got the compliance procedures and practices ironed out to back up what they're selling and to present documentation if asked for. Those types of practices, whether it's done by you or your agency or an oversell list VA you've got somewhere in the world who doesn't really know this stuff or doesn't really care, somebody who's pinch hitting on your account on a short-term basis, these are leading to account suspensions. This is kind of becoming widespread at the worst time, as we often see at this time of year. But many, many people who haven't double checked what the brand is in brand registry, what the brand, let's say, is supposed to be on a product listing, they're getting into trouble, or they're already in trouble. They're already suspended by the time they come to us. But of course, you have an opportunity now, if you're not suspended yet, to stop this in its tracks, or to at least lessen the blow of account health messaging that says you have 72 hours to appeal in order to maintain your active status, or even just to fall off their radar entirely if you fix this now ahead of enforcement waves, which could be triggered at any time. Once you get to, let's say, November 15th, used to be the old cutoff when I was there in terms of what we used to call the holiday war team suspensions for performance metrics that were out of range. I remember November 15th being the cutoff for the heavier handed enforcement actions, but we've all seen what zero tolerance policy teams have done throughout 2025. You have to expect that that will stay at its current level or ramp up more seriously in the next few weeks to make sure that as sales spike and as buyer eyeballs and attention to various detail pages go through the roof, buyer experiences that are negative won't spike alongside any increase in sales or revenue for different third-party sellers who aren't playing by the rules, or let's say are trying to color outside the lines and are evading policy enforcement. And again, what we're seeing most often in the messaging is either references to you've misbranded your items on previously active detail pages, or you've made illicit changes to detail pages, sometimes taking a generic page and adding your brand to it. There are varieties of ways of doing that. We don't have to go into what they are. We certainly don't want to encourage anyone black hat or anyone looking for a quick score during Q4 peak to utilize any of those methods. But it could be a brand change that you're not even aware of. It could be an illicit change by a black hat competitor who sometimes changes your brand name on different detail pages, maybe on a lesser sold ASIN, something you don't catch right away. Maybe you don't have the right you haven't optimized your automation tools or your compliance reviews. Maybe you don't even have a designated in-house compliance employee who's looking for potential listing flags or mistakes. Or maybe Amazon already found this and it's already sitting in your account health and it's been red flagged and you haven't dealt with it yet, or you weren't sure how to deal with it. Obviously, that's what we are there to help you proceed past that, rectify it. Hopefully, you're not just clicking acknowledge saying, yeah, we probably did mess that up. We probably should be admitting that we did that wrong. We'll just acknowledge it and get it out of our way so we don't have to look at it when we're busy with other stuff. Well, that could come back to hurt you. So you want to make sure you're acknowledging the right stuff, not over acknowledging, not over admitting things. I can't tell you how difficult it is to to go back and dispute something if Amazon flagged you incorrectly after you've already acknowledged it. It makes you look really unprofessional, not with it, not on top of your ops, not in charge of your business or your account when you start trying to reverse previous admissions or reverse previous acknowledgements. And it just injects confusion into an already discombobulated, disorganized appeals process, whether it's inside Amazon or inside of your operation. You're going to be talking past each other. You're going to waste more time. You're going to up the risk of ASIN takedowns. You're going to up the risk of your account health being harmed at the worst possible time. I mean, it's never good to see your account health score or rating nosediving, but especially not now for most brands, at least that we work with. Regarding evasion, that's a code of conduct violation. Many, many sellers have had trouble acknowledging things like we did evade listing policies, listing bots, because we were trying to, I mean, you can try to come up with an explanation. Typically they say there is no acceptable explanation. Some people have been forced to acknowledge it, but it just makes you look bad, right? Why do the evasion the first time? Whether it's your agency coming up with the idea or you think it's an acceptable short-term ploy, there's going to be a record of that, right? Whether you fix it or not or now is up to you. Definitely fix it if it's something that has to be fixed, right? Don't expect to just slide by through Q4, not have a competitor report you if it's a valid complaint, a valid report of abusive listing tactics that you have undertaken. Don't expect to complain that a competitor is attacking you if it's a legit and valid complaint, right? Why take that risk? Why risk the whole account? And another thing I'm seeing with people who are misbranding pages or joining pages by others that are misbranded and expecting to come up with an excuse, hey, we're not the ones who misbranded that page. Understand that this results in an account-wide or an account-level action most of the time. Most of our support inbox, and I'm referring to support at eCommerce Chris, or the emails I get directly at Chris at eCommerce Chris, most of them lead with, other sellers are doing this, why can't we do it? That's the basis of their appeal. Obviously, that gets rejected. Two wrongs don't make a right, especially within the Amazon ecosystem. Or they're claiming ignorance, professing, hey, this is our first Q4. This is the first time we've done this. Again, back to the VA example, we hired a VA. Maybe you already fired them for incompetence, but you're trying to blame the VA or blame your agency for listing errors, listing violations. Maybe that means something to some policy enforcement people. I don't see it meaning much to the account suspension people. I see whether it's in ignorance or not, whether you knew what you were doing or not, whether it was deliberate or not, they're out for blood. They're taking you down. And then you're in a pickle because you're forced to appeal it. Sometimes they say, we're only accepting a dispute where you can prove that Amazon wrongly flagged you and they won't accept admissions of guilt. Or you have to thread the needle. You are forced to admit it. You are forced to acknowledge it. They already found it. They already showed you or documented that they have evidence that you broke these rules. What does that mean for you? You have to thread the needle on at least a partial admission of guilt because you were committing these listing violations. So first off, do whatever you can do to take important decisions like listing reviews, listing compliance out of the hands of lower tier, lesser trained personnel. Or if you are the owner and if you're a one man or one woman show, you need an extra pair of eyes on it, get it in front of somebody like me who can take a look at it, or Leah McHugh, as she's often discussing these matters on this podcast. But don't just roll it, you know, roll the dice, gamble with it, assume Amazon's too busy at this time of year to catch you. I mean, maybe some of their manually investigative teams are pretty stacked up, pretty behind. But things are different now on the policy enforcement teams. In the age of increased scrutiny of seller code of conduct violations, in the age of zero tolerance policies, whether it's things like review manipulation or illicit merging of ASINs, ASIN variation creation violations, you know, those are trendy and cyclical. When they feel like enforcing a bunch of those in the form of an account suspension, they might do it at this time of year. They did suspensions last year and the year before for things like erroneous related account blocks. We've seen them do it for varieties of listing violations, ASIN variation creation just being one of them. We saw heavy-handed enforcement of the bundles policy earlier this year. They're becoming increasingly intolerant of mistakes. And again, don't wave the card of we're new, we're different because we're new and we were learning on the go. Those are reasons to deny appeals, not to accept appeals. If they don't think your knowledge base is high enough to sell on Amazon, they're not going to trust you to sell. If they think you're finger pointing at a VA or an agency, even if you've already gotten rid of the agency, even if you've already gotten rid of the VA or your in-house employees who made these mistakes, yes, hopefully that's one factor among many that they consider when they read your reinstatement appeal, but you cannot count on that. You can't roll the dice like that unless you really don't care how well your brand does, or you really don't care about the life of the account, the lifetime account health, or just how long you're going to last on the platform. Because from what we've seen from Q1 to Q3 and now into Q4 is these guys mean business. They don't blink an eye at taking down accounts, and they don't blink an eye at sending generic copy and paste denials of appeals. We still see people doing ridiculous, crazy, basic ChatGPT appeals that, first of all, they look like ChatGPT. We haven't gotten to the point yet, maybe in 2 or 3 years, where a ChatGPT appeal will look like a real human did an appeal. For the moment, those are obvious. I can tell, you can tell, Amazon can tell. So you're just burning appeals paths when you send those in. God forbid you send stuff like that to executive seller relations or directly to Amazon team leads, executives, wherever. We've seen appeals running the gamut for occasions like this where you knew you had a restricted product, or maybe you didn't know, but you should have, and you were trying to evade capture on listing restrictions because of restricted product policy enforcement. That might seem like a temporary win. You might think you got away with it this time around. You might sell some additional units and you might slide past just because enforcement teams or the people reading appeals for reinstatement do something quickly, miss some key details. They get sloppy. They get disorganized. Yeah, you might get lucky. I certainly wouldn't count on that or bank on it. And if you're that desperate that you're just winging it, then I guess you're just kind of seeing where the chips fall and they fall where they may. But you know that the odds are stacked against you, and it's not that you don't care. It's just that you have no other choice. Well, if that's how you look at this, or if that's how you're managing your Amazon brand or business, I come across as a little bit cynical, but yeah, best of luck, because that's not going to last very long. For everyone else who is mostly doing the right thing, mostly has everything pulled together, mostly making the right decisions, don't let a little bit of sloppiness upend everything you've worked for all year long, because that's a silly thing to do. When number one, it was avoidable and you wouldn't have cost yourself your entire account. Number two, you don't have to spend time appealing things. You can focus on making sure that nothing else goes wrong during peak, during Q4 in your operation. And you can put your attention where it needs to be and where it should be, because you're running a clean shop and you're not attracting the ire and the negative scrutiny of policy enforcement teams. Because what do policy enforcement teams exist to do? It's to enforce policies correctly, but it's also to justify their existence, which is they have something to shoot at, they take a shot. Why make yourself a target like that? There's no reason to do it when it's fixable and avoidable in advance. So any questions on that, obviously, you know where to reach out to us at eCommerce. Chris, Leah and I will be back next week talking about similar themes and similar things we see people doing that could trip them up, and top mistakes that we see brands making in Q4, which again, could upend their entire business, that are probably avoidable mistakes. So we'll catch you soon. Thanks again for listening, and best of luck.